reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth. It is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. Condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." A lot of the most profound stories in the Bible seem to be a mixture of sadness and hope. The story of Adam and Eve in the garden is one. There's regret that a moment of disobedience to God led to their expulsion from the garden. Yet somehow a sense of anticipation, even excitement, is there also. That great poem of John Milton, Paradise Lost, ends with these words: "The world was all before them, where to choose their place of rest, and Providence their guide. They, hand in hand, with wandering steps and slow, through Eden took their solitary way." And even the appalling death of Jesus is linked for us to the wonder and the hope of the resurrection. There's something of the same mixture in the story of Jesus' final departure from the earth. One side of us wants to say, gee, wouldn't it be great if Jesus had stayed here forever? But that's a serious misunderstanding of Jesus' purpose. He had come to give us a model of how we can become truly, fully, completely human, and to make our choices about finding meaning in life, just as Adam and Eve had done. And in that freedom, there is joy and pain, exhilaration and dread, satisfaction and doubt. Alas, we human beings find it difficult to grow our humanity. War and greed, selfishness and ignorance blight our world, the results of human weakness and sin. They are choices made by human beings in the freedom given to them by God. As Christians, we are all too well aware of the stench of evil in our society. Our conscience is battered by the misery and unhappiness we see about us, and we want to change it to bring about the kingdom of God. Our concern for others may lead us to a commitment to changing the structures of society that cause the oppression. No Christian could desire to do any less, but it's not enough. Oppressive structures will not be changed until hearts are changed. And that's the point of this story about the ascension of Jesus. Jesus had lived among us, showing what it can mean to be fully human. But being fully human, he cannot stay with us forever. We human beings must be allowed the God-given freedom to discover how to grow our humanity in a way that satisfies and completes us. It's about understanding and liberation and reality. That's the point of the ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We are given the choice of opening our hearts to the knowledge that though our world is immersed in wrong and injustice, we can rise above it and respond to our true calling. And the call that is always there for us is the call of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing vague or nebulous about all of this. The Spirit's call can come in unexpected ways. Most often it comes to others through us. That's why St. Paul spent his entire life moving from place to place, building up communities of people, to make a space for the Holy Spirit to work in the people who were open to the Word of God. My 11-year-old granddaughter has been given a cell phone. Now she can contact me by telephone, text message, email, or Skype, and she does so frequently. I love hearing from her. Her bubbling joy and chatter call to me. The call of the Spirit.